Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Rosie, I'm going to be a little bit late today because basically I left the house and then I just realised I just bled through my trousers. Basically I had a cough and I didn't realise I was a day early on my period and probably saying why I was so emotional yesterday and I was crying the whole time and watching Moulin Rouge again. Anyway, can you just tell Jack I'm going to be late because there's like a problem on the tube or something? Don't tell him. Do not tell him. Okay, I love you so much. Bye.
Deleted.
And welcome to Daddy Look At Me,
a podcast where myself, Helen Bauer, and Rosie Jones sit down and talk to our favourite people from the world of showbiz about attention, childhood, and of course, Daddy.
Great to have you here. Now let's crack on with the show. Welcome to Daddy Look At Me. How the hell are you?
Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we've heard a lot about you so far, just chit-chat in general. Yeah. But now let's talk about what's happening with me.
Yeah.
I did not go to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
I did.
Yeah, no, we know. Everyone went. I was here for a month by myself. It has been lonely. God. I do have friends to hang out with, but a lot of them are in relationships. The best thing that happened is my friend's boyfriend had out to be an asshole. She was devastated.
Amazing.
And I was over the moon.
Good, that's good. Yes.
She moved in with me for a couple of days. And
really
I was
good
like,
news.
Thank God. Like, he turned really abusive. And I was like, good news for Bauer. Yes. Good news for Bauer. Like, she was genuinely, like, broken. And I was I need this right now.
Let's,
awful, isn't it?
Let's get the Maltesers out.
I did buy her a box of Maltesers. It was good. We did Korean face masks.
Amazing.
Yeah, my skin's got really bad. there was like a panda on the packaging. So I was like, this is great.
Is it great?
Yeah.
What are you going to introduce me so I can talk?
Okay.
Right. So, today...
today, on Daddy Look At Me, we have got a great friend of both of ours.
Yeah.
We love him to bits.
All right.
I'd say I'm probably better friends with Rosie.
You're not on
it!
This... Right, I'm so close to walking out right now. Okay, you went to Melbourne. It was 1 month of your pathetic little lives.
The best month.
No, it wasn't the best month of your life.
It was a good month, to be fair.
It was so good.
Did you think about me?
No.
Yeah.
When?
When you messaged me asking if I wanted to do this podcast today.
Yeah.
Did you think about me before that?
Yeah.
I sent you voice notes.
Yeah, they were great. They were really good.
I saw that you kept them, actually.
I did keep them.
Do you listen to them often?
Yeah.
Yeah?
All the time.
I think I sung to you.
You did sing to me.
I did.
It was a great song and I played it to Catherine and Sarah as well.
I messaged Rosie about 20 times and I got about two responses out of all of them.
I was too busy.
I tried to call you. I tried calling everyone.
I was there.
No one picked up.
Well, it's a different country, so the phones...
I was being really sensitive to the time difference.
Different phone network.
WhatsApp. I was WhatsApp calling.
Did you WhatsApp call? Well, there's no internet in Australia.
No.
So. No, this is... There is, because I follow people on Instagram who've been to Australia.
But there's not. They have to leave Australia to put bars up.
Yeah. Either way, it's a country full of racists and crooks and sexist people. I'd love to go next year, but I'm glad I didn't go this year.
Actually, it was absolutely pleasant time.
Yeah,
really, really nice.
People were so lovely.
So kind and lovely and receptive. Yeah. The audiences were great.
We're going back.
I'd love to go back. Would love to.
Right.
Obviously, it won't be the same though, because we've been before.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, I really want to go, but then you'll be like, oh my God, let's go to, oh my God, do you remember last time we were here? Yeah. And I'll be like, no, because I wasn't there.
Yeah, we'll definitely do. We'll make a point of doing that.
And we've already got our group of friends, and I feel like we all complement each other.
I think so. It's a really good group actually this year.
Adding other people would change that dynamic.
Yeah, adding somebody to the group chat like a year later, you're gonna miss a lot of
reminds me of when I was at school in year six. There was a trip to somewhere in France, like Le Havre or something like that, and everyone was invited, obviously. It was like a whole year group, but they didn't have enough spaces to take the whole year group. So obviously some people didn't want to go or couldn't afford to go. Yeah. And then they still, more people wanted to go than couldn't. So they picked names out of a hat for the people that couldn't go. And I was one of the five people that wasn't allowed to go. My name got picked out of the hat. And it was in assembly.
Well, why the fuck would they do that in assembly?
Out in front of everyone. Oh, and I was distraught.
I would absolutely, I would probably pay £1 million to see year six Helen reacting to that in assembly.
I think I took it out on everyone, including the teachers.
Smashing picture frames.
Well, you know what I think happened? I think before assembly.
I have a horrible feeling I know where this is going.
In the staff room, the teachers were like, right, who do we hate?
Who do we not want on the trip?
And they just put my name 8 times.
Did not want you to go.
I think
it was
like
the original Hunger Games. Like, put my name in so many times.
I don't think any names were actually on the paper.
So it just said Helen loads of times.
Yeah.
Helen Bauer.
What probably happened, they were like, well, you know, we all went to Le Havre last year and it's difficult to add new people to the group chat, so we don't want Helen to go.
You know what? It's bad. I think my mum said that to me. She's like, I think they might have thought you were too loud.
Oh my God. Like, we got told off being too loud on the plane.
Yeah. Did you?
We kept messaging Chris Washington, because you can do this thing on the plane on like posh planes where you can like send chat messages to other seats. And Chris sent me a chat message that said, yum,
why
yum.
Why are you looking at me? I honestly couldn't give a shit about your plane
because,
to Melbourne.
Because Rosie was there when it happened, so she knows what happens.
But I don't want to know.
Story. I'm telling the listeners the story, because it's a funny story. I'll tell Jack then. You don't have to be part of
this. Oh, by the way, can we just quickly introduce Jack, who is the legend who is producing our lovely podcast. Hi, Jack.
Hi.
Hey, Jack. Do you want to hear my story, or do you want Helen to keep interrupting?
I want to hear the story.
Thanks, mate. So basically, Chris Washington kept sending chat messages to my seat on the plane.
Oh, did he? That's funny.
That said, like, yum, yum, and, like, delicious stuff. But the thing is, I swapped seats so that this, like, 7-year-old woman could sit next to her husband. And so I went over, like, 8 hours into the flight. He was like, you're not responding to my messages. I was like, I'm going to get it.
That is funny, right?
It was really funny, too.
We worked out where all the comedians were sitting, and me and Chris were messaging everyone saying, hi guys, I'm a TV producer, I really want to make a
It was funny.
They all sound really funny.
We got in trouble at the airport because we were in different places in the line.
How is this still happening?
We kept screaming at each other that we all had bags full of dillies from Australia.
What's a dilly? A
dildo. So many dillies in this bag. It turns out I was like surrounded by like 8-year-olds in the queue, and I was shouting about how many dillies I was bringing back in my big suitcase.
Is that a nickname that you came up with in Australia?
Yeah, it's kind of like an in-joke.
My bag was like bursting at the seams.
Nothing but dillies.
Full of dillies.
Stop writing shut up on that paper, Ellen.
Shut up.
Oh, that's a good... sorry to interrupt, by the way. You were talking about the TV producer thing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Move on.
That happened to me. I got stranded at Abu Dhabi Airport and these cunts all left me.
Yeah, I know. You got stranded at Abu Dhabi Airport, and then you had people on a flight to Heathrow when you drank Baileys by yourself, and Rosie had to say goodbye to Chris Washington. He went to Dublin and then Manchester, and she came back here, and she got back in the early hours yesterday, and she hadn't slept at all.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Same.
Let's check.
But I feel like we can go into it in more detail. Yeah. You're not getting the full story.
Honestly, I feel like there's poo coming out of my body just out of stress.
Like a Play-Doh where it comes out of the head in like cylinders.
So,
what's this?
Welcome to Daddy Look At Me. Yeah. So can you shut the fuck up and look at me? Okay. I know you're daddy. I feel like you're the daddy of the situation.
Oh my God, look at my water bottle.
I kept calling my tattoo artist Ink Daddy.
Oh, in Australia?
Yeah,
shut the fuck up.
I am daddy.
Yeah, it's his daddy in your water bottle.
Daddy?
Okay, right,
oh,
whatever.
Oh, you're daddy then, okay.
I actually saw my dad this weekend. So
he's
Michael's really well, actually. He went to my mum's and we were all there together, but they're divorced, and he brought her a box of coconut chocolates. She's allergic to coconut.
Oh, fucking hell,
the
Mike,
laughter
mate.
We had. She didn't find it funny. He was over. He was like, look what I did, it's fucking hilarious. It's like, that's not it's not good.
It is funny, to be fair.
Shut up. Bitch podcast.
Should we just say we've both got daddy issues and just admit it now? But me and Rosie both do everything just because we want our dads to love us the most.
I go to want attention.
Same.
And I feel like I've always been like this.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a reason why I'm a comedian. Mm-hmm. So we want to feel better about ourselves.
Yeah.
And be like, are you the same?
I think everyone has that. I don't think I've met anyone that doesn't have daddy issues. Because it's not like, you can have like a great, you can have great parents, mm-hmm. but it's so hard. I think it's impossible to not fuck a kid up somehow.
I think I was fine. I love my dad to bits, but I definitely have my dad.
I have daddy.
Since
what?
Then, it's just like we didn't touch each other. Like he was just naked on a carpet in my dream, and I was like, okay, but that must have been like we didn't have sex. That was my first like dream where it was like naked older men.
Right.
So like since then, I'm just sort of like not my thing, but I'm just like I'm very aware of it. But like
it's hard
everything
job finding
I do,
wrinkly dillies in the shop.
Okay, right, dillies, we get it. Right, dildos in Australian slang. Right, yeah, ha ha ha. No one, I just
Oh yes, I'm so sorry about doing my funny dillies joke. Please return to telling us about how you dreamed about fucking your dad.
We didn't touch. We've never hugged in real life. So it made so much sense.
Oh my Christ.
So much to unpack.
Happy Easter, everybody.
We talk about it now and he jokes about it, and then I tried to do it because we went on a holiday together and he just went, oh, very good, and just sort of like patted me like a dog.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm getting closer.
I'm in there, guys.
Please, please, please hug me, Michael. I feel like I need to start calling him dad instead of Michael. That would help. But basically, we're both attention whores.
Yeah.
And we've been this way the whole time, and we both know you are.
Oh, 100%.
We hang out with you, and when you come around mine, you just do musical theatre performances.
I literally can't not be on.
You don't know how to turn off. That's
really
your
don't.
Problem.
Yes.
What? Why is there a switch?
I hate that question. Do you get that from people?
What?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, she's still on.
Yeah, I get that.
It's
all
like,
the time.
Oh, fuck off.
No.
Like,
I find it so difficult to be sincere.
Oh, yeah. God.
And
the worst.
People that are like earnest all the time, it's a real like, how the fuck? It just seems unearnest. And like, it's such hard work to be earnest.
Yeah.
And that's the only true thing I'm going to say for this whole podcast, because I've spunked out my whole meter just on that thing.
And even hearing that made me like, I just
cringe.
Like, I need
it makes you cringe, right?
But like, I'm exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like, sincerity is the hardest emotion for me, because I'll do it and then I'll break it so quickly.
Oh, so yeah, it's like, Ed, tell me you love me without a caveat. Nah.
Tricky.
Probably not.
I love you without a caveat. I'm not fully sure what caveat is.
There you go. There you go.
I said it because I like wanted to repeat the word.
Yeah,
but,
it's a good word.
I thought when I'd say it, I would know the definition.
Yeah.
Through saying it, but I'm.
But you don't.
No,
still
I'm
love me though.
I'm trying to spell it in my. It's an endless love.
Thanks,
actually,
mate.
Rosie licked my palm earlier.
Aww.
And no joke, my twat actually twinned. Like, that is a sign of love, isn't it? Because it's like, first like fancy someone and every touch is sort of like a little like flutter. Like that feeling of going down on a roller coaster and your womb just sort of like blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was like that.
And
I was like,
then
maybe.
Since then, she's looked at me differently.
You make me want to hold you in the middle of the night. Rosie. You make me wanna hold you to the moments, right?
What's the like?
I'm not done.
Are you allowed to like sing songs, or is that a copyright issue?
No, you can do it.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh my God, what should we sing next?
Could you not, though?
Right.
No, but the thing is, you're actually a singer. You can sing well, so well.
Stop.
So,
I can.
Did
I think.
You
no, I
sing when you were little?
Oh, my singing journey is, it's long. It's a long ass.
Tell us your story.
So I'm trying to talk about this in my new show.
Yeah.
Pleasance Beside, 9:45 every day in Edinburgh at the festival.
Great. Lovely stuff.
Uh-huh. Basically, when I was a child, I was in a church choir, but there was also like did touring and stuff, did concerts,
yeah.
And was like weirdly famous in like Japan.
What? So
I just really quickly, if anyone's listening to this, please stop listening right now. Go onto YouTube. Yeah. Type in Ed.
No, don't give out my real name, please. Because the big problem I have is. Like old men from like the Philippines will like watch videos of me as a 10-year-old and then send me messages saying that they want to fuck me in the ass on Facebook or Twitter.
Oh my god!
And like
god.
I have loads of like Twitter followers god. Who are like all their pictures are of like topless children.
No, and no.
I remember like having to wait inside the church after services for our parents to come and pick us up because there was like an actual like a guy in a windowless van that used to wait. But it's nice to know which of my friends are googling
way.
Me.
Oh my god, I google you.
Thanks, mate.
You're welcome.
No, it's just really like so. I was a singer as a kid, but I can't really remember it because I was like 8 when yeah. it started. Yeah. But I've been to Japan like 6 times.
But did you get like? Did you want to start singing, or were like well, were you sort of like pushed into it?
Well, it was kind of like the guy, the director of the choir came to it's just kids from South London.
Yeah, mm.
Just like normal kids.
Yeah,
he comes to his school like. Get some kids out of music class and says sing a few notes and invites you down and you do like services and stuff.
Yeah,
but it was
how
like
mad.
4 days, like it was like 4 rehearsals a week.
What?
Monday, Friday and like all of Sunday
yeah.
rehearsing. Like all holidays were like
yeah.
going on, like on the road and stuff.
So, and I would have loved that so much.
Yeah.
Well, it's like I was more concerned about the fact that I couldn't play my Game Boy at night or like speak to my family while I was away.
Yeah.
And like,
so you would just go with the choir? Like you?
No, family wasn't it, like there.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
Yeah, yeah. And we couldn't like speak to them or anything.
Did you enjoy it or not?
I don't know. I've been thinking about it a lot in hindsight.
Yeah.
But I'm not the only person who was in it who's since changed their name.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Were you, was it like a thing of like when all the boys were sort of like there and then one person was given a solo? Because I've watched some of them and you are a very prominent soloist
yeah.
in it.
Yeah, I was
like,
kind of one
was
of the
that like
ones,
a one of the main 8-year-old boys with a high-pitched
yes.
voice.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
Ed,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
yeah.
I think I probably got the brunt of the paedophilia.
But was it like front you know, Pokemon
center.
Cards for
yeah.
us at school? Like,
yeah.
it was like, if you got shinies for being a chorister boy, was it like, who's got the most
yeah.
paedophiles waiting outside for
yeah,
them?
What?
Were you
yeah.
the pedo pinup?
I was the fluffer, I think. I was one of the main fluffers. That was nonsense. No, it's just, it's really strange. It's like, it's like a mix of like really sincere, like the people that love like boy groups. Like people that love like fucking children and like church people, so it's like a really strange mix of like.
You can put the church people in
yeah.
there.
Yeah, possibly.
Them, yeah.
yeah, some of them were yeah. pretty Catholic. Like it was a strange. It's like I was a child, so I have a hard time remembering it, and I was
yeah.
there for so long, and I'm trying to think about it objectively a lot. And it was obviously a good experience, but it's not like we didn't get paid for the touring or anything like that.
But you stayed with it, didn't you? Like, not with the singing, but like, did you feel like after that you were like, I like being on stage. Like, I like the sort of feeling
yeah.
it gives me.
I probably just think it's like one of the only things that was like a certainty in my life and that I felt comfortable doing.
Yeah.
And it's something I've always just, because I've been on stage since I was like 8. I've got a very atypical childhood.
Yeah.
And obviously, like kids would like give you grief for doing
yeah.
it and stuff like that.
Oh, I remember in a drama school from the house that I grew up in, so like, I'm
yeah.
fully like I'm totally
oh, yeah,
involved
yeah, yeah,
in
yeah.
this. Yeah.
But then when I started doing like more musicals and shit when I was a teenager,
yeah.
that's the stuff I really
yeah.
love.
Oh.
I love that.
So were you ever nervous being on stage?
For comedy is probably the most nervous I've been.
Really?
Because it was the first time I'd ever done anything on my own and not
yeah.
with
yeah.
like. Loads of friends and people I know surrounding me.
Yeah, and being yourself as well.
Yeah.
Or a version of yourself.
Yeah, it's like with the choir, I wasn't in love with it. I was just performing stuff.
Yeah.
yeah.
Comedy is my only platform and I get
yeah.
to say stuff that I want to say. And it was when I was like 16, I did this musical theatre thing
for like. You were a nanny, weren't you?
Yeah, this
sort of, so wish.
I was Daddy Warbucks, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
How freaking great is that?
So I'm another daddy on this podcast.
What were you now? Who?
The daddy. I'm a daddy. But daddy. The daddy. Is your bottle daddy.
Yeah. You're both my daddies.
Daddy. Let's stop fucking the audience's ears there. But when like it was the director of this youth musical theatre delinquent breakfast club thing on the weekends that we did.
I think it sounded like the best thing in the world.
She was like, I want you to do comedy stuff. And then I was like, oh, I really like make people laugh, actually.
Yeah.
That's a good feeling. That justifies my presence in this situation.
And Daddy Warbucks has some great laughs because he wanted a boy, but he gets a girl, and he's like, "Oh, bloody hell!"
Yeah.
Like that's a fun moment.
He's really rich and doesn't know what's going on.
I'm cookie,
cookie boy.
Didn't you go out with a girl who was playing something in like Les Mis at some point, and you were like, "I'm in love with her"?
My first girlfriend was I met through the musical theatre, and. Yeah, so we like met and it was very like, it was.
Did you see her singing for the first time and you were like?
Yeah. Oh, she has a fantastic voice. She's a very good singer and actor.
How old were you?
How old was I? I was about.
Yeah.
So when I did it, I was 17 and 18. Yeah. When I was doing that.
Yeah.
That's such a great age to get into music.
I thought I was like, I thought I didn't want to perform again because I was very like, I think. I was like completely. I didn't like being associated with the choir and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like just right when everything started going online and no one really knew how social media worked and stuff. So that was all very. We were all like on Facebook at 12, like, and all of our Facebook friends were just like random pedos from like different
countries. I never thought about that.
Yeah, it's mad. But then I never wanted to perform again. And then obviously I started doing MT. And I was like, oh, my talent is just too much.
Did you say MT instead of musical theatre?
You have to. My talent is too much to be kept from the world.
Honestly, when you said MT, I was like, oh, is that a drug? I don't know.
It's a pedo repellent. Yeah.
I started taking drugs and I was like, I need to...
You were hard on the MT.
I was hard on the MT.
Was it through it your school? Or was it like you were just like, I need to find a musical theatre group? And
no, there was a I saw a poster in my school, but it wasn't to do with the school.
I had an image of like a young gangster little Ed walking down like Streatham High Road and he just sort of like goes past this like village hall and he's like, wait a second, what's that? And that's then it's me. Just like, when you're a jet, and you just walk in and join in. Like...
In fact, I did. I was in my school sixth form musical. I played gangster number 2 in Kiss Me Kate.
Why did everyone's school do the best musicals? Our school did one musical.
What was it?
Big Al the Musical, The Story of Al Capone's Life. No joke. And I was Al Capone's accountant, devastated.
That's
and
so
then
funny.
When I went to college, they were like, we're doing a musical. And I was like, oh, fucking great. They're the musical of The Ugly Duckling. And obviously, I was like, I choose dignity. I'm going backstage. Absolutely devastated by that. Like, Big Al.
Yeah.
Like, literally, it was just kids from Fleet, Hampshire, all of us white, pretending to be in Alcatraz. Like, Al's here.
Big Al's here in Alcatraz.
It's Al. Well, worst accent.
I can't really empathise, because I've only played lead roles in well-known musicals.
Yeah.
So...
Okay, you know what? I actually was in... I wasn't allowed in the school play in year 11 when I was like... You know, in year 11, that's when you get the lead parts. I wasn't allowed in it because the teacher said that I was too tall to be in the chorus of women.
What was the musical?
It wasn't a musical. It was a Greek tragedy.
Well, fuck that. That's boring.
I know, this is Ed, I wasn't smart. This is all I had. My life
you
revived
smart.
Around... No, I
yeah,
well,
you
like, hey, God, hey. Thank you. I'm really emotional right now.
I'm so sorry.
And it's feeling super vulnerable. But like, that was all I had. Like, I defined myself by being, like, I wasn't sporty.
No.
Yeah. Like, I did the drama stuff. Because had to be. Because my mum ran a drama school.
Oh, yeah. I was always like a performing kid.
That's the thing.
There's
and
no
then the one thing in our town is my mum teaching in our living room improv to kids, but like really harrowing improv. Like, okay, so pretend I'm your lover and your family. And it's like so I had that. And then at school is where you want to fit in. And I thought the drama teachers would love me and she hated me so much.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll be your new drama teacher. I'll be a drama teacher.
Would you?
And yeah, I'll do like that. A J.K. Simmons on you, and I'll make you the best damn actor. Yeah. Make you the best damn actor in the world.
So good. I say I had a really good drama teacher at college. It was great.
What's just quickly, everyone, what's your favourite musicals? Oh, do you want to shout out your good drama teacher, by the way?
I do. Emily Tobias, but I'll probably mention it every single episode of this.
Thanks, Mr. Tobias.
We just called her Emily, actually.
Emily. Oh, that's such a drama teacher thing. Favourite musical?
Shall we change it? I got a top three.
Go on.
Top three, Les Mis.
So yes.
Michelle Gunn.
Don't know it, actually. Sorry.
What?
We die. The dust of life. Is that okay?
Amazing.
Great song.
And Hamilton.
Yeah.
And I saw Hamilton about 6 weeks ago.
Oh, before you went to Australia?
Oh, yeah, I went to Melbourne.
It's been a good few weeks for Rosie.
Did you go?
I loved it. I was gutted I didn't get to see West Side Story while I was there, though. There was a production of it on.
Good.
That's such a good musical.
We nearly went to see Juicy Boys.
Oh, yes, I wanted to go and see that as well because I've actually seen it. In my venue every day in Melbourne. Sorry to bring it back to this, Helen. But
I've seen Jersey Boys in London years ago. Carry on.
I don't care.
I really don't care. My front of house manager and my tech, shout out Dom and Brendan in Melbourne, both love musicals as well. And so before the show every day, I did musical of the day, and we would all sing a song from the musical over the PA before we opened the doors.
What?
Did musical of the day every day. Sung a musical song. And one day we opened late because I was doing I think a whole song from Cabaret or like I'm Here for the Colour Purple or something like that.
Oh my god.
Oh, so good.
Were you
sorry, you went to see Hamilton.
School? Yeah.
You were going to tell the story about Hamilton, but Helen interrupted, actually.
Wait, I'm really sorry, you're going to hate me, but I'm going to wet myself.
Right, we're going to watch Rosie wet herself and be right back. Oh, hi. There. We're both really, really sorry to interrupt your listening of our amazing, amazing podcast, but Rosie and I have a special announcement because we're both at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival of Lights. Rosie, tell the beautiful folk where your show is.
My show, Backward, is at the Pleasant Chicot. Every single bloody day at 7 p.m. Where are you?
I am opposite Rosie Jones in the Pleasance Courtyard at 6 p.m. and my show is called Little Miss Baby Angel Face, and it's my first show, and we'd love to see some of you there.
Come, and that will be such a bit.
Because we're ready for the best summer of our lives!
See you there!
Yeah.
So, you were a choir boy.
Choir boy, and then I was an
you
MT
were
kid.
Big, big into the MT.
Yeah.
Were you funny?
Oh my god, are we recording again? Absolutely no idea. I was texting Sunil Patel.
Oh, I'll say hi to Sunil for me.
I will. Yeah, well, we'll do it later.
Yeah, not now we're at work, actually. So, I'll watch like clips of me in the musicals when I was a kid because I'm immensely insecure.
Do you have DVDs of them?
Oh yes.
Oh boy.
Could me and Rosie come over for a viewing?
You can, but they're not like some of them are like I ham it up. So but, like basically when I did Les Mis, I basically just copied Matt Lucas and what he did in the DVD.
Who were you in Les Mis?
I was Thénardier, the innkeeper.
That's not a lead role. Earlier you were like
it is a lead role. It's one of the big three.
It's not one of the big three.
It's Valjean, Javert, and Thénardier. Everybody else, that's the big three.
Okay.
They're the ones that always like in an act. They're like different sides of the three-sided coin. Thénardier is like the edge of the coin.
The rim is coin rim.
It's the rim. I'm the rim boy.
Coin rim.
But I pretty much exclusively got cast as like Cockney villains. Like comedy Cockney villains.
Did you ever think that would be your career? Did you have a moment where you're like, I'm a musical theatre superstar?
Well, all of my friends from there like went on to do like drama school, and now the ones that graduated are like smashing it in the West End and stuff. So I was like, well, I didn't go to university or anything like that. But I was sort of thinking about maybe drama school, but I wasn't in love with the idea.
Yeah.
So I decided to defer it. And then during the deferral, I decided stand up comedy.
Fair play. So how old were you?
I did my first gig when I was just 19.
Whoa.
Just turned 19.
Started like properly as a baby.
Little baby boy.
Little baby boy.
Little boy. Now I'm a big boy.
No,
boy.
You're still a sweet little baby boy. You're still my little angel.
And were you like, oh God, this is it now? Did you enjoy it?
Well, just, so the podcast is about reasons we do things, right?
Yeah.
It's less like, the first gig was a real rough one. It wasn't a good gig. Like, the gig itself was shit. It was like an open mic night for music. And me and my friend, who were also doing his first gig, who like asked me to do it with him because he didn't want to do it on his own, were the only people doing inverted commas comedy. But I found that and this is why I've got such sticky feet on stage, even if I'm doing badly, is that it's not like the laughs are good, and it's that whole thing of, sorry to be sincere.
Again!
I know, two times in a day. What am I celebrating? But like, obviously for a lot of people, everyone talks about using humour as like a coping mechanism or a defence mechanism or as like a way to justify your presence in social situations, which I think I do to an extent, or did a lot more when I was younger, when like, as a chubby late bloomer kid, I was like, gotta be the funny one.
Yeah.
And then when I'm on stage, I feel normal, and I feel like I second guess everything I say a lot less, and I don't feel like, when I'm on stage, I feel like how I imagine everybody else feels all the time.
Yeah.
And that's the element of it that I like. I feel a lot less mental when I'm on stage.
I totally get that. Do you have the same?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, because I speak slowly, like, you know me, I am outgoing.
Yeah.
I'm an extrovert.
Yeah.
But I find
that... Yeah, it gets annoying, actually,
I enjoy that side of you.
I feel like in groups of, like, three or bigger, I sometimes hang back. Mm-hmm. Because part of me is like, oh, it'll take too long.
Right.
Whereas on stage, I'm the only one with a microphone.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck you, I'll take my time.
This is my space.
Yeah, so it allows me to be in control more than I am in real life.
Yeah.
That's a fucking good point. I wish I'd said why I like it before that, because I just like
can
the...
we...
exactly.
You like the clapping,
I like the looking. I get that. My brain goes really quiet when I'm on stage because it's one job. I just need to make you laugh and that's it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then in social situations when we're just sort of chit-chatting, I'm like monitoring so much. My brain is going way too fast.
Yeah.
And even on like bad days, I'm like, this is my relaxing time on stage. No, no, it's not. But I think like... I didn't... Obviously, when you first start doing comedy, it's not relaxing.
No.
But it kind of like... Is that... I don't know. But I don't like that personality trait in me. It's like, how is that my happy place when everyone's sitting around and just listening to me talk?
Well, I think the best way I can articulate that feeling for me is like, this is the time of the day where there is a point to me being here.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God, was that it?
Do you know what I mean? It's like...
So I'm picking a spot, but I'm also
listening.
That's
fine, go ahead. Yeah. It's like, I'm on... So it's like, we all know I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here to do a job. I'm here for a reason. You'll have to sit down and listen to me. Let's have a fun time doing it. Where I'm in social situations, I'm like, oh, my brain's going really fast. I'm I need to say something funny, or I need to sort of kowtow to everyone. No, everyone thinks I'm a cunt and nobody wants me here and all this mad shit. But on stage, like, even if you hate me, I've been asked to be here. So you can suck my good.
Yeah. Apart from when you're new and you have to ask to get on stage. And then
apart from that. But, you know.
But also for me, I mean, people might disagree, but I've had so many jobs where I'm like, am I good at this? Like, what am I meant to do this? Whereas from my first gig, I wasn't amazing, but I was like, oh, and no one can do
that. That's fucking bullshit. I saw one of your first gigs and it was just like, you've never seen a whole room just fall in love so quickly. I was livid.
But also, it's you get to decide what you do on stage. Yeah. There's no right or wrong answer. Yeah, it's exactly. entirely your prerogative what you do.
Apart from when you fall over, I fell over.
Did you fall over?
Yeah, trying to get onto the stage.
Shit.
Straight down.
I did a thing like that. I got really angry at an audience member in Australia and like took his beer off him and drank it in front of him.
Yeah, see, there's a wrong.
To never come to comedy again.
Yeah.
And then like outside, I heard him slagging me off and I was like, thanks for the beer, fuck up.
Yeah.
It was bad. I shouldn't have done it. It's unprofessional. But
no.
See, there is a wrong on stage then.
There is a wrong. You can do wrong.
But you can't go wrong on musical theatre.
You really can. Oh boy,
I don't know, I've been in Big Al, so I kind of like, I know a lot about it. Yeah. So it's like, yeah,
I need to learn how to do stage falls properly before I get back into that game. Because it was like in Les Mis right at the end, there's a lot of like everyone carrying each other through sewers. Yeah. And lots of like punch ups and stuff. So me and my friend who were playing Marius ended up like getting really badly he got like pleurisy and,
what? Like, pleurisy?
It's like this, like something with your lung. Because we were just we just had to like fall on hardwood every day. And I fucked up my ribs and shit.
Oh my God.
Definitely wasn't
theatre's not a sport for everyone. Yeah. You know, it's a really tricky thing.
It's so hard. And I'm a triple threat, so my body is just so.
You're not a dancer.
What?
Shut up, you're not a dancer.
I'm such a good dancer.
Yeah.
Well, me and Rosie went to lots of parties together. Yeah. In
Australia.
Melbourne. Yeah, so she knows like I'm a good dancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she knows.
Where were you, Helen?
I've actually had a lot of very rewarding gigs over the last month.
Stevenage, is it?
I haven't actually been to Stevenage in this month.
All right.
But I'm going to Dorking on Friday night.
Fucking hell. That's the worst thing. So I was like... I was like, the last few days of Australia. I was like, well, I'm just doing gigs in Melbourne, but I'm also, I was like booking myself gigs in like Stevenage and like and Peterborough and stuff. I'm like, Peterborough. I'm not going to say it anymore.
Peterborough. I think you're doing really well.
So,
I still feel like you are a musical theatre star, though.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I think so. And I think comedy, stand-up comedy is probably the quickest way to get into musical theatre.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Have been okay.
Actually, I'm going to say that is a really big compliment from Rosie.
It really is. Yeah. But also, you know, Rosie, I'm actually jet lagged. So.
Oh,
you're both jet lagged.
Yeah, so it's going to be tough for us to record this podcast because we're both jet lagged from Australia.
So we'll leave it there because Ed is currently suckling on Rosie's nipple, calling her daddy. So I think it's the right time to stop. Daddy.
Southern Hemisphere daddy. Oh.
Can I just quickly say hi to my dad, Michael Bauer?
Yeah,
I love you and I really hope we hug soon. I told him I loved him recently,
and
he went,
Oh, Jesus.
Michael.
I'll say hello to my daddy.
Give us his name.
Robert Jones.
Hi, Robert Jones.
Robbie J Boy.
Northern daddy.
Hi to Michael, Rob, and what's your dad called?
Kevin.
Michael, Rob, and Kev.
Oh man, what emotionally repressed names.
Mike, Rob, Kev.
Mike, Rob, Kev.
As you were, lads. As you bloody were.
Over and out.
Bye.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow
there'll be sun. Tomorrow. I love you tomorrow, you're only a day away. When it's over this day, that's grey and lonely. I honestly can't believe you're still recording.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. How great is singing as a group?
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
The sun will come out for Chloe. Bet your bottom dollar that with Chloe there'll be sun. Chloe, can you please come on our podcast? We love you. Tomorrow, if you're not free tomorrow, we can pick another day with Chloe. We'll talk about our childhoods. Cause Chloe is such a babe. Chloe, call me back with dates. I love you so much, babe.
Deleted.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.